Heavenly Father, thank you for this evening and the opportunity to study your word. I pray that you would speak to our hearts by your Holy Spirit. We thank you in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. All right, here's a list of the gifts. We are on discerning of spirits. So that's found in 1 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 10. It's listed there. And we are going to discuss what this means. And the first thing I wanted to do is just look at those two words, the word discerning and the word spirits. So first of all, when we talk about the word discerning, and this is going to help us understand what this gift is all about, I hope. But the word discerning means the ability to distinguish or differentiate between things, to evaluate carefully, the ability to judge, to evaluate and judge. So the word is used in Hebrews chapter 5, verse 14. It says, but solid food belongs to those who are full age, that is, those who by reason of use have their senses exercised to, and here's the word, discern both good and evil. So the ability to discern is the ability to distinguish or to evaluate or to differentiate between two things. And in this particular verse, it's the ability to evaluate between good and evil. So when we're understanding or seeking to understand the distinguishing or the discernment of spirits, we're talking about being able to distinguish, to differentiate, or to evaluate between things, namely spirits. Now, here's where a little bit more comes into the picture here. What does it mean when it refers to spirits? How do we distinguish or differentiate between spirits? What exactly does that mean? Now, I looked up all the references to the spirits, and there are several categories. So the first one is the easiest, I think, to understand. This is where the word spirit is used in references to God. So I'm just going to go quickly through this list here. So you have the Spirit of God, you have the Spirit of your Father, the Spirit of Christ, the Spirit of the Lord, the Spirit of Him who raised up Jesus from the dead, the Spirit who is from God, the Spirit of His Son, the Eternal Spirit, the Spirit of grace, the Spirit of glory, and of course the most common one is the what Spirit? The Holy Spirit. So all of these references use the word Spirit to refer to the Holy Spirit, and by far the majority of the references are to the Holy Spirit. But also it can have a reference to Christ or to God. It's a reference to God in this case. Okay? Another category here is when the word spirit is used in a positive sense. So it describes or distinguishes something positively. So these are positive identifications. They don't necessarily refer to the Spirit of God or the Holy Spirit. It refers to other things. So you have the Spirit of truth, the Spirit of holiness, the Spirit of life, the Spirit of gentleness, the Spirit of faith, the Spirit of wisdom, the Spirit of revelation. The word spirit is associated with angels and then ministering spirits. The angels are called ministering spirits. And then you have the spirit of prophecy. Now, there's a little bit of a difficulty here in understanding these categories because it doesn't necessarily refer to the Holy Spirit in play. It could refer to the person. So the spirit of truth might be a reference to a person having this attitude or this sense of truthfulness to him. Okay, he's characterized by the spirit of truth, a spirit of truthfulness. So that's a possibility. Like the spirit of gentleness, you know, might be the same thing, or the spirit of wisdom, or the spirit of faith. These references are not necessarily a reference to the Holy Spirit showing these things in a person, although it might be. So there's a little bit of a difficulty here sometimes. And this goes on to the next category here where we have the word spirit used to refer to a person. So you have the spirit of a man, the spirit of the world, the spirit of your mind, a mute spirit, a dumb spirit, the spirit of a man. Did I have that one already? Oh, that's the first one. All right, sorry, I duplicated that there. the spirit of just men, a gentle spirit, a quiet spirit. Now, in this case, you have the same possibility of an evil spirit being present, causing the dumbness or the person being mute. Or it could be a person himself who is exhibiting this quality or this characteristic, especially the ones that were listed in the verse before. And then you have the negative references, the word spirit used in a negative context. So you have unclean spirits, the spirit of an unclean demon, evil spirits, the spirit of infirmity, the spirit of divination, the spirit of bondage, the spirit of stupor or bewilderment, the spirit of fear, the spirit of the Antichrist, the spirit of error, deceiving spirits, the spirits in prison. So in this category, you have clearly many references to an evil spirit, a spiritual being who is impacting a person in a contrary or negative way. Okay, so that's this last reference here. But it's not just a reference to evil spirits. You have, which one might be, like the spirit of error. I mean, that could be an unclean spirit. In any of these cases, it could be an evil spirit at work. Yeah, go ahead.
Divination.
Yeah.
Divination.
Which one is that?
Divination.
The spirit of divination. Well, I think that has to do with witchcraft and conjuring spirits. The people who are involved in the occult, I think that spirit of divination, that's not like prognostication in this case. It's yeah, say any. Yeah, any occultic, yeah, any kind of occultic activity, and I really think that this is one of the huge dangers of dabbling, you know, reading your horoscope or just doing a Ouija board for fun or what other things do people do for fun that are occultic? The palm reading. Okay, again, you're fortune told in some form or fashion. I think the danger of that is that it's not harmless in that there could be an evil spirit that comes behind or inhabits or moves in that way in order to bring forth some kind of prognostication or some kind of event or something to pass. And that becomes very dangerous because the Lord specifically warns against this, because in the case of the occult and so on, the, you know, spiritism and all of that, in that case, what you're doing is you're going to these methods to obtain the future, when in reality you should go to God who has determined the future. You go to the world goes to these things in order to bring something about, like, you know, to curse somebody or to bless somebody or to, you know, to alter events in some way, when we should go to God who is sovereign over all events. So what you have, and this is true of everything in Scripture, you have the right and the godly way, and then you have Satan who seeks to imitate in some way everything that God does. And this comes out most clearly, I think, in the book of Revelation, but it's present all through Scripture. So dabbling with this stuff is dangerous because you have the spiritual evil potentially behind it that empowers it in order to deceive and to take one away from God. And it might not be a blatant, well, I reject God now. It just could be, you know, anytime you get messed up and that kind of stuff, you just kind of drift from the path. And, you know, before you know it, you're in a horrible shape because the devil is nobody's friend.
So, like, spirit of divination, like with something that's divine, is identifying specifically with that one thing.
Yeah.
God at all,
right. Yeah, there are other words when we're... Oh, well, no, the word divine by itself, it can be referred to God positively. Yeah, but the act of divination here is I don't know. I didn't look at all the words, but you know there are. I mean, the world will use the word divine too in a negative way. So you just have to use the context. Yeah, this was a practice. It's a practice. It was a practice of the Egyptians. I mean, the act of divination. You know, to divine is the verb form, as opposed to, you know, God is divine. We actually studied that, I mean, before you came, and we went through all of these, you know, looking at entrails and bones and birds, and it was just really bizarre, all the different things that people do out there, and tea leaves, and, you know, just... Well, that's not divination. That's following the instruction of God. And that's the difference. That's the difference between doing that at God's instruction. You're seeking through false means to know the future when God will reveal it he'll just reveal it to you. There's no mystical element about it at all.
If this helps Acts 16:16, when they're in Derbe and Lystra, as it came to pass, we went to prayer, a certain damsel possessed with a spirit of divination met us, which brought her masters much gain by soothsaying. Paul and Silas, these men are the services made by God. And then Paul and Silas were thrown in jail and went to hold.
Yeah, what verse is that?
Acts 16:16.
Yeah, that's the verse I have listed in the afterwards.
I didn't read your notes. Shame.
Everybody look up those verse references really fast. Some of them I could have listed a whole lot of verses, but I'm just picking one to give a context of it. All right, so what you have then, you have these categories which really distinguish the spirits into three groups. So you have the spirit of God, which would be the positive. You have the evil spirits, which would be the negative. And then you have the human or the world spirit, which would be not necessarily, it could be a third distinct section, not necessarily, although it could be influenced by either one of them. Did you have a question? Okay. All right. So you have God's spirit, you have man's spirit, and I think that this includes some of those attitudes that we saw. Man's spirit, who is reflected in the attitude of gentleness or truthfulness or fear or error or some of these other things that were listed there. And this will come into context as we go through there, through this. And then you have evil spirits, which you could have those same things, but influenced or generated or caused by an evil spirit. So fear, for example, or error, not just springing from the man himself, but also from some evil influence upon the person's life. Okay? Any questions about that? So three categories of spirits. God's spirit, evil spirits, or the man's spirit. Gary?
Well, one of the first things I think about with the evil spirit is when David got it out of Saul by playing his harp.
Yeah. Yeah, these references, I only went through the New Testament, and there are a whole lot of other examples that can be found in the Old Testament. Yeah, good. All right, so the purpose of the distinguishing of spirits then is to, first of all, identify the source. So is someone being influenced by God's spirit? Is someone being influenced by evil spirits? Or is someone just being a person? And So somebody that has the gift of the ability to distinguish or to discern spirits is able to know if what is the source behind what a person is doing or saying. That's the first part of the discernment of spirits. The second part is to be able to distinguish the characteristics of that person and what is the influence of that. So is a person in error because they are just in error themselves, or are they in error because they have been moved to error through the influence of an evil spirit? Is someone in truth just kind of, well, because of the grace of God on this earth, and, you know, he's given us some abilities to understand things and to think and to reason and all that. So is somebody in truth by virtue of who they are, or has the Spirit of the Lord led them into truth? What is behind the truth? So the discernment of spirits is able to identify the source, God, man, or an evil spirit, and the ability to discern or identify certain characteristics that's going on in a person's life. So is the gentleness from God? Is a person truthful just on their own because that's just their characteristic? Is someone fearful because of an influence of an evil spirit? Or is it just human fearfulness for something? The ability to identify certain sins. So somebody, I think, who has the discernment of spirits can look at someone and discern that they struggle with drinking. They struggle with drugs. They struggle with sexual immorality. They struggle with pride or lying or something like that. So somebody with the discernment of spirits, I believe, can identify these sins as well. And we don't want to, I have to try to catch myself not to focus just on the negative things, because there's also a positive parallel to these things. So can someone with the discernment of spirits can identify someone who is, you know, righteous or true or telling the truth and, you know, truthful or genuine or, an upright kind of person? You know, you can discern these things when you're looking at another person. Okay, now remember, we're talking about a gift of the Holy Spirit here. So this is a ministry of the Holy Spirit. Someone with the discernment of spirits is acting by the moving of the Holy Spirit on their life. And if something is coming from God, so let's say God is behind it, then, you know, we're talking about something that is positive, that is going to be helpful, that is going to be truthful. And, you know, it's always, anything of God is always going to be good and positive. There's no problem there. When we're talking about people, and I think the majority of things that we have to deal with involve just regular people like you and me just doing regular things out of our own strength and smarts and all that kind of stuff. Even though we're Christians, we strive to do what as Christians? Every time we act or move or live or speak, we strive to what? To be like him. Well, most of the time, my point is that most of the time I think we have no trouble acting in our humanity. We have no trouble there. As Christians, the challenge is that we yield ourselves to the Holy Spirit's influence and speak and act out of the Holy Spirit's influence and by the guidance of the Holy Spirit. So you have sometimes where the Holy Spirit is working through us. The most of the time where not just us as Christians, and especially unbelievers, are just kind of acting in and according to their human nature. And then, again, another small percentage of the time you have where there's a specific evil spirit influencing a person's words and actions. All right? So we're attempting to discern these things. We're attempting to discern the positive things, the positive words, the source of the positive words, the source of the positive actions, the source of the negative words, the source of the negative actions. So Again, somebody that has the discernment of spirits can tell if a truth is spoken, can tell encouragement that comes from the Lord, can tell if someone is serving or supporting or acting in a way that is motivated and moved by the Holy Spirit. And likewise, on the negative side, and again, I think it's easier for us to kind of think in these terms, but we can tell if someone, you know, is lying, if someone has ulterior motives, if someone is acting out of selfishness or self-centeredness, if someone is greedy, if someone is a liar versus, you know, being truthful, if someone lacks in sincerity. These are all, you know, just common things that we might, that we struggle with as Christians especially, but then the world, you know, is going to live and operate in these ways. So the discernment of spirits is able to discern these things. And like some of the other gifts, it's not an all or nothing 100% kind of thing. Because when we operate in any gift, what is our struggle? To yield to the Spirit, to make sure that we're teaching, you know, led by the Spirit rather than me teaching, you know, my out of my own humanity. And so the same thing with the discernment of spirits. There have been times where I've been absolutely sure about something and just completely wrong. Ended up being completely wrong about it. That's just because I was off. And so it goes. So this is how we approach. And when... Does anybody feel they have the gift of discernment of spirits here? Anybody? Alan? Curtis? Do you feel like you have the gift of discernment of spirits? Okay. Well, that's right. I mean, the sometimes is okay. Don't worry about that. It's all sometimes for all of us, but...
What I mean by that is that...
Yeah.
I mean, I have good attention for some things that I'm going to be saying. The Lord held it.
Hey,
the good attention. Maybe that I want what I want to be.
Right.
That's actually myself for what I want.
Yeah.
But, you know, if I had to go to the Father first to see what it is.
Yeah.
That he would have been.
Yeah. Yeah. So, Alan, what kind of things do you see?
Well,
I don't know if see is the right word.
The experience with this was, I don't think I'd been a Christian maybe 6 months or so.
Right.
And I'd come across this magazine from a particular organization, and I looked at the headline of the article, and immediately, heresy.
Right.
Now, I'd never seen this in my life.
Right.
And running through the article, yeah, it was chock full of it.
Yeah.
And there have been times where you know why people are talking to you.
Yeah.
You know why.
Yeah.
It's not, some of it's because they're honestly having trouble. Some of it's because they're actually trying to go talk to person B. You just happen to be in the way and they're trying to be polite. You know it.
Right.
You sit there. Yeah, no way, Tom. You got your way down my path.
Right.
Get out of here.
All right.
But
yeah.
It's interesting also because sometimes there are people that are having troubles and they can't say it. They need to, but they can't. So if you can kind of know what they're feeling, you put the words in their mouth for them.
Or kind of direct them in a way, even if they...
It's not so much direction as much as, well, let me say this for you because you can't.
Right.
For whatever reason. And then once, oh, it's okay for this to come out. Right. Oh, the walls come out.
Right.
It's also helpful because you kind of know whether you're going to get into some trouble or you're not going to get into some trouble. But I think, at least for myself, my favorite part is to know why people are doing what they're doing.
So motivations and that kind
of
thing.
If you're trying to pull the wool over on me, well, okay, great. Yeah,
all right.
Well, let's see how much fun we can have with you until we get to the south, so to speak.
So Curtis,
too, is this person's just dangerous. I need to leave.
Yeah. Curtis, what about you?
The cat playing with the mouse.
The what?
Well, he did the last thing he said, let the
cat playing with
the
mouse.
All right, I don't get that. So,
well, the cat just plays with things. When a cat catches a mouse, it doesn't kill it. It plays with it like a little toy. I can do anything I want to.
You don't do that with the discernment of spirits, right?
No.
Oh, okay. I'm still not getting what's going on here, but...
Only with Mormons.
Yeah, all right, with Mormons.
Well, for example, with those groups, I'd rather have them talking to me instead of going down the street and talking to some other person. They burn their hour on me, well, great, no, there's no harm done, rather than burn an hour on some other force.
Right, right. All right. Yeah, Gary and then Tina.
Okay, I got a little story here that isn't 100% true. One time I was helping out my pastor in my 20s, and he was doing a sexual rock music, and he said, I know you got like 4,045, so you want me to experiment playing some backwards to see if I can pull messages out of them. I discovered some that were never discovered or talked about. And I worked night shift at Brooklyn as a psychiatric technician. I went to bed that night to take a nap. There were demons holding me down to the bed trying to kill me. And I said, I plead the blood of Jesus Christ, I demand you leave, and they left. And my ex-wife, who's now passed away, when I got up, she said I had handprints this big on my back.
Wow, what an experience. Yeah.
So I know that the forces in high places are there.
Yeah. Tina? Yeah, I
as far as like something's off here. Yeah. Not right.
That's great. Cuz
I feel like all of us have that gift that God gives us to discern.
Well, I wouldn't say all of us, because my only hesitation, yeah, there's, you know, just like the word of wisdom and the word of knowledge and the faith, you know, we're all supposed to have faith. We all have some kind of wisdom and some kind of knowledge and understanding. So there, in one sense, it's present in all of us. My only hesitation with that, I like the idea that we all have a smattering of all of the gifts, but that's not what the scripture says. It says that not everybody has this one and not everyone has that one. So I have to hold myself back when I feel like saying that. But in some cases, it's hard to deny, like faith, for example. And we spent a whole lot of time talking about faith. That's something that we all are supposed to have. But then there's the gift of faith where, you know, where the Holy Spirit just gives you faith for a particular situation. I think with discernment that there is, I mean, you get into the Word of God and you start to understand the things of God. And when somebody begins to talk in a certain way and you're familiar with the truths of God, you're going to be able to say, start thinking, well, you know, this just sounds off. I don't think this is right. And so I would agree with you. There's a smattering of discernment that we all have. I think it's a part of our makeup, how God has made us. But then at the same time, there's also the spiritual revelation of discernment, where God just shows you something that's, in a particular case maybe, beyond the normal activity that we might experience. Right.
By giving us the word.
Right.
If we know the word, we're going to recognize when something's a lie or when something's truth.
Yes.
The Bible's telling us what.
That's right. That's right. As a matter of fact, there's. No, yes, there is discernment involved in that, for sure. And let me read a passage from 1 John chapter 4, which kind of goes along with that. And you'll see how it kind of goes together here. So he says, this is 1 John chapter 4, beginning in verse 1. He says, "Beloved, do not believe every spirit, but test the spirits." Okay, so there's two things going on here. There's the caution, don't believe every spirit, but test them first. So here you're engaging in that and having some sort of, well, let me see what's going on here. Let me hear what they're saying. Let me look at what they're doing. And this is exactly what he says in this passage. Test the spirits whether they are of God, because many false prophets have gone out into the world. By this you know the Spirit of God. Every spirit that confesses. Now here it's by listening to the words that are being spoken. Every spirit that confesses that Jesus has come in the flesh is of God. And every spirit that does not confess that Jesus Christ has come in the flesh is not of God. And this is the spirit of Antichrist, which you have heard was coming and is now already in the world. So in this passage here, there's the Don't just take what is being said at face value from whoever's saying it. Test it to make sure it's right. And the test in that case is listen to what they're saying. What are they saying about Jesus Christ in particular? Those who speak the truth of Christ are of God. Those who do not are not of God. So yeah, we learn the word of God, we learn the truths of God, and we begin to engage with other people. And I think we get a sense of, is someone being honest? Are they lying? Are they thinking only of themselves? Are they really loving other people? You know, you tend to pick up on these things. Gary?
Well, the thing that I've noticed too, that we're, you know, got a little bit of discernment, is there was a very famous preacher who said, is Jesus the only way to heaven? And he goes, yes, but there's many ways to Jesus. And I'm like, really?
Yeah, you hear something like that and we begin to identify.
Right.
It's like the old example that's used of counterfeit bills. You know, they don't teach them how to discern all of the counterfeit bills, but what they teach them to do, or they used to, I don't know how true this, they still do this. They teach them to know what to look for in the real bills. And so you get trained in identifying the real bills, and then when a counterfeit comes along, you can spot it as a fraud easily enough. So learn the truth. This is one of the reasons why I've never spent time looking into the beliefs of Mormonism or Jehovah's Witnesses or anything like that. Now some people do, and that's fine. And in the field of apologetics, you need to learn the philosophies of the world and all of this kind of thing. But for me, there's just so much truth that I never have a chance to get to. I'm not going to waste my time learning the falsehoods of these other sects and stuff. I'm going to focus on the Word of God and do my best in the Word of God. And when somebody says something that's weird, I'll be able to know because it doesn't line up with Scripture. All right. Now, what do we do when discernment is made? So once discernment is made, you hear somebody say something, you see somebody do something, and you have discerned it is of God, then what is the response in that case? Praise the Lord, right?
Depends on the circumstances.
Yeah, I mean, it's of God. So praise the Lord and be thankful that God has done this. And it's good and it's right and it's of God. And we don't have anything to worry about and anything to fear from it. Now, what if you discern something and it is the source is an evil spirit? What are we supposed to do? Because you're going to come across, if you have the discernment of spirits, you're going to come across and identify evil spirits here and there and everywhere. What do you do? How do you respond to that?
Point it out.
Rebuke it.
Question it.
Now this doesn't necessarily mean that somebody is demon possessed or anything. It just means that they have. In some cases, they can be demon-possessed. In other cases, we're just talking about, you know, they've just kind of just yielded to an evil spirit, and he's driving them to in a certain way. So we need to submit. I've got a couple of verses here. And I mean, the whole thing of spiritual warfare comes into play here, and we're not getting into that right now. Maybe down the road we might, but James chapter, just some broad general principles. Therefore, submit to God, resist the devil, and he will flee from you. Another verse for us to remember, Ephesians chapter 6, verses 11 and 12. Put on the whole armor of God that you may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil, for we do not wrestle against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this age, against spiritual hosts of wickedness in the heavenly places. So there's the identification of the evil spirit, and there must be, especially, you know, when we're talking about, all right, so someone is moved by an evil spirit, and they're sexually, it's a sexual thing. Well, what are you going to do? You're going to protect those that you love. You're going to caution against them. You're going to not allow somebody that has that. In other words, there are some actions that you can take, you know, to protect yourself, to protect your family, to protect your church, to protect your people, and there are some things. We resist the devil and the things that he in the way that he influences. And this, I think, is really important, because what we're doing is we're dealing with people. And the gifts of the Spirit are given for what purpose? What is the purpose? The one purpose for the gifts of the Spirit. They're given?
Ministered of.
What? Tyson, what'd you say?
For edification.
For edification. Tina?
I was just repeating.
Okay. To minister to them, to edify, for the profit of all, for the benefit of all. This is a positive thing. It is to be used in a positive way. So, remember, we don't battle people primarily. We battle the evil spirits primarily. So we have to resist the temptation, because what happens is if we identify somebody who is off, whether it's because of an evil spirit or because they're just being a person, we have to resist the temptation to be judgmental, to fight against them. We have to remember that evil spirits could be involved in the background, and our purpose is exhortation and profit and benefit and all those things. We're trying to win them and free them from their trouble. That's the purpose. So we identify somebody has wrong motives. Well, you know, that's just going to happen whenever you come across somebody, or somebody that's selfish, or somebody that has to deal with some kind of thing in their life, like drunkenness or drugs or something like that. It's tough. We have to deal with these things, and we can discern them, and in discerning them, then we are in a better position to help them and to direct them to Christ, of course, first, but also direct them to a place where they might be able to overcome these things so they get into a better place. We want them to be victorious, right? Right? Yes. So, we want to affirm what is good, resist what is evil, and help in a better way. We want to take action. We want to share the gospel. We want to, maybe we need to stay away from them. Look, sometimes you come across somebody and you see something about them. Maybe there's a violent spirit to them or an angry spirit, just, and you feel the Lord just telling you, get away, stay away. Don't mix yourself in with them right now in this state. So you do that. So sometimes staying away or getting away is the right response. Sometimes we need to share the gospel. Always we should be praying for them. We should be praying for them. Why do we pray for them? Because we care for them, and we don't want to see them in this situation. Well, that's part of it. I mean, all of these things that we might. Yeah. Yes. Okay. I would see that as a possibility. It's like there's an evil spirit and he's moving in this way in that person, and you're being warned or cautioned to. Yes. I think that would be an possible expression of this. Yes. All right, so remember, so let's say somebody is acting just out of their, remember the greatest category of acting is out of the human flesh, people just walking in the flesh. That's going to be the greatest number of instances of things. So you see somebody, they have an ulterior motive, they are acting out of selfish motivations, they have bad attitudes, right? What are we going to do to that? Well, how do we respond? Well, you know, sometimes people who are acting in the flesh can render aid, right? I mean, we see that on the news in these terrible situations that all those people, they're not saved, and yet they're acting in humane ways in order to help people that are falling on bad times. So we have to be aware that God moves. There's common grace in this world. No one is as evil as they could be. And God is at work in different ways. So just be aware there's the possibility that we can graciously receive a benefit because God is in control and He is sovereign over everything. And our heart is to see people filled with the Spirit and walking in God's ways. And that's our goal. And so we want to, we don't want to beat somebody up because they have a bad attitude or an ulterior motive. I'm a pastor. I'd be in jail if I acted in a bad way towards people that were acting in a bad way. You know what I'm saying? It's hard, you know, because I'm constantly coming across these kinds of things on a regular basis that you have to deal with in a godly way. So remember that God is gracious and he's at work. He cares for the people. We have to care for the people. The purpose of the gift is to bring people to Christ and to bring edification and their profit, their benefit. It's for their benefit of all. And so we want to remember that. And we want to go forward dealing with people in these things. So you might see it, you might understand it, and that gives you a little bit better insight on how to deal with it. Does that make sense? I mean, Curtis, go ahead. Sure.
And as a Christian, my job is to bring everything to the Lord. You know? But I also understand that how I approach them,
yeah,
how they receive that information is coming to
me, yeah,
without having any fear, but through the faith, and I'll let them know how to bring them into the
faith. Yeah, that's good.
I mean,
right. No, that's right. We're not supposed to run for everything. So a good example is if somebody comes up to me and they start complaining about somebody else. Well, I'll never join in on that. I will start saying, well, you know, we need to be patient with them. We need to, you know, maybe you should pray for them. Maybe you say a kind word about them next time you see them or do something nice for them. I'll never join in on the criticism. I'll always bring it back to the person who's complaining to me, what they can do, what they should do, how they should respond, and what's the Christ-like way to respond. That's kind of how I will do it. And so like you're saying, you know, we're trying to help people, and we're trying to encourage people to be filled with the Spirit and to walk in the Spirit and to be godly in this world.
A lot of people I know, and I've been in the same position they've been in.
Right.
And some people are like, who do you think he is? Who do you think he is? Remember when he's...
Right.
It's like, you know what? Don't pray to him. Pray with them. Pray with them. Pray together.
Right.
Come up for a serve, you know, in the church.
Like, right.
Is that what's laying for?
Yeah. Right.
You know, when I was on the path, and then I felt like, wow, I felt like I've been deceived by family members of this, that, and other. So then I turned to drugs and alcohol. I fell out to the regular day and everybody else. I'm going to be like everybody else.
Yeah.
I'm not happy and good about this.
Yeah, there's the lies and the insincerity and the ulterior motives and all of that. There is a miraculous component to this. And, you know, when we see it in Jesus' life, he would come up to somebody and he knew the spirit that was impacting them and would cast them out. And so there's that miraculous component, and we might come up to somebody, whether we know them or not, it doesn't matter, but God reveals something to us about, you know, what's going on in their lives. Yeah. Right.
But when his name was changed, you know.
Right.
I mean, many people still scared him after the fact.
Yeah. And the example in Acts 16:16, he spots this woman. He understands she has a spirit of divination. And,
right.
And he casts it out. Yeah. So there's a miraculous. Yeah, there's a miraculous component to this too. So there's the regular, like Tina was saying, you know, we kind of grow into it. And then there's also the miraculous component. And somebody who has the gift of the discernment of spirits is being moved on by the Holy Spirit something is revealed to the person about somebody else for the intent and the purpose of helping them. Yeah, helping them. Yeah. All right, any final thoughts or comments? Okay, let's pray. Father, we thank you for this gift, and I pray, O Lord, that you would help those of us who you have chosen to bless in this way, that you would help us to use that discernment in order to help people and to maybe bring about deliverance for them, freedom from things they're struggling with, turn them to the right righteousness and rejection of sin and yielding to you in all things. We thank you, Lord, for your grace and your mercy. In Jesus' name, amen.